Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. These unprecedented times, talking about COVID-19 pandemic, and get a chance to visit with Western Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos, who's back in the district. So the big key question is, what is the future of this economic stimulus plan, and what does Sherry Bustos want out of this?
I think it is fair to say it will be big, it will be bold, and there is a real sense of urgency of getting this through, making sure that Democrats, Republicans, and the House administration—and the Trump administration—all work together. This is not a time to be meek and mild. We've got way too much on the line. So, a lot of things that we're looking at. We've already passed two phases of this economic recovery package. That included help for small businesses. It included help for families with paid sick leave, with paid medical leave, with free testing for anyone who a doctor says needs it. That's a separate problem because we don't have enough tests, but we can talk about that separate from this. That we've got money in there for making sure our kids who are home from school don't go hungry. We strengthened our supplemental nutrition program and then also enhanced our unemployment aid. So that we've done already, but it's very clear that the next phase of this is going to have to be even bigger than what we've already discussed.
All right. So when you talk about help for small business, I know I've talked to some small business owners here within Mercer County, and when you're talking about rural area and the landscape, a lot of small business owners are upper 50s, you know, lower 60s, and when they hear about maybe loans, they're like, well, do I really want to take on additional debt at this juncture of my life? And the unequivocal answer is no, I don't. So a lot of what I'm hearing from the business owners back home are, well, when you're talking about help for small business owners, are we talking about some grant funding being leveraged there? And the other question is, how do the business owners, and we're still waiting for approval of this stimulus package, how are they going to go about getting that funding?
So we are looking in this next phase at everything from bridge financing, so immediate infusion of money, to help especially our Main Street businesses, and we are looking at not only loans, low-interest loans and zero-interest loans, but we're also looking at things like grant type of funding for small businesses and things like forgivable loans that could potentially be used to pay rent, keep people in the workforce, pay wages, pay health care, that sort of thing. Now, I can tell you this, Jim. When we look at forgivable loans, in other words, an infusion of money that will not have to be paid back, that would be, in my opinion, have to be tied to making sure that employees are not left out in the cold. You know, we can look back at post 9/11, we can look back at the 2008 financial crisis, and I think the thing that was so not only unfortunate, but just so unfair were the big bailouts to big corporations that then did things like stock buybacks and huge CEO compensation packages. And what we're saying is that we don't want any industry to go belly up, but we also want to make sure that our employees, whether it's on Main Street or Wall Street, are not left out in the cold. So when we look at the forgivable loans, it's going to be tied to make sure that that workers are taken care of as well.
Now, that aspect of a stimulus package, you would support that?
I absolutely would support it. But the conditions that I think we, again, what we have to be very careful of is that as we give out money to small business and big business, that it is tied to making sure that employees are taken care of. Okay, so there's going to be conditions. We're not going to just be able to say, okay, business one, you get a forgivable loan. Business two, you do, you know, all down the line, looking at that as forgivable money or grant type of funding without making sure that employees are taken care of.
Yeah.
That those are going to have to be tied together,
in my
opinion.
Yeah, so you're talking about it has to be quantified or the business has to qualify for that funding, showing that, hey, this money is going to this employee or these group of employees, basically. I mean, that's what you're saying. They're going to have to show that that's where the money's going to.
Well, it, not just that. I mean, you got to keep your doors open, right? I mean, you are an employee of a small business, right? And you want to make sure that rent can be paid, that the lights can be kept on, that the water can be kept on, all of that. So it's a package. It's not just one thing or the other. We want to make sure that Main Street first and foremost is taken care of. I'm talking about from my perspective, and I think this ties in with what House Democrats are looking at. We want to keep our businesses open, and we want to help our workers. It's those two go together.
And then, of course, we've heard a lot of talk about the stimulus as it relates to the individual or the, couple filing jointly in terms of the stimulus package. We keep hearing the $1,200 check or whatever it is. So what are we talking about in regards to that aspect of the stimulus? And where are you at in terms of what you will support?
And you're referring to the direct payments
yes,
to people?
Yeah, that's been a lot. The main discussion item I've heard a lot about.
Yeah, I'm supportive of that, but with some limitations. Now, at first, the president was talking about having direct payments to everybody in America. I don't think if you're a top one percenter that you need to have those direct payments. I think that those folks will end up okay. I think Warren Buffett will end up okay. And I think the folks who are running Apple and Microsoft, I think they will be okay. However, I do think that our families and individuals who are not in that, the top earning in our nation, I'm very much in favor of those direct payments to help us get through this.
All right. And I know you look at all aspects. I mean, this COVID-19 is impacting every part of the economy. And I know, that there's been some promise with trade on the agricultural front, but now there seems to be this dispute brewing again between China and the U.S., at least from the Trump administration, with, the responsibility of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Can you comment on that? Are you worried about the impact that could have on a trade agreement that looked pretty promising initially, but then this COVID-19 pandemic, it comes along, and then we see what's happened to the commodity markets out there, and we're kind of starting to see this back and forth between the White House and China again as it relates to responsibility for COVID-19. Are you worried about some, blowback in regard to ag trade as it relates to that?
Well, coming from a congressional district that is where our economy is driven by agriculture, I always want to make sure that we are looking for new trading partners. I'm very, very pleased that we finally passed the USMCA, and we're in a better place there, although now we've got our borders closed between Mexico and Canada for a non-essential travel anyway. There is just no need to continue to make enemies, especially from a trade perspective, out of places like China. Every time the president calls this the Chinese virus, that's a little bit more of a salt in the wound. Look, this is a worldwide pandemic. That's what the word pandemic means. We will have, when this is all said and done, millions of people will be impacted by this from a health perspective, and tens of millions, hundreds of millions will be impacted from a financial perspective. So, this isn't a time to point fingers and stir up animosity with China, or for that matter, people within our own nation by calling this the Chinese virus. That is not the term that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is using. That is not the term that we should be using in this. All that does is stir up animosity. This is called the coronavirus, and when people are impacted, it is the COVID-19, and even calling it anything other than that stirs up animosity is just not anything that's welcome. These are challenging times for our farmers. Absolutely no doubt about that, and And we've got to be working together and making sure that we recognize the hardship that so many of our family farmers have gone through and do what we can. It may be when this is all said and done, but to increase our trading partners as we, you know, especially get on the tail end of this.
Yeah, it's been interesting. We just have a few moments left with Western Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos, you know, following this story and the moving parts to it. And, I mean, the overload of information that's disseminated as we track this thing. And it's been interesting kind of following, you know, governments responding to it. And I'll just go by state, for example. And it hasn't been really uniform across the nation. Now, I think most states, as this epidemic reaches their borders, I think they act, and it seems to be uniform. Do you think Governor Pritzker, his decision was, I guess, do you think he's handled it the right way in terms of what's going on in Illinois?
I think Governor Pritzker has been a leader in this entire nation in how he's handled it. The fact that he announced something that's, you know, this is a tough decision to say. He's going to declare a shelter-in-place demand on every resident of the state of Illinois. Now, he clearly spelled out that if you are an essential employee of an essential industry, then you continue to do that. He has said that you can go out on the, you know, take a walk. You can, you know, when it gets a little bit warmer, we can go out and take a bike ride. But the stay-at-home order it shows the seriousness of what we are facing as a state. But look, Governor Pritzker, frankly, the administration was way too slow in acting on the personal protective equipment that our frontline healthcare providers and firefighters and police officers and ambulance drivers and nursing homes need in order to get through this safely. The administration was incredibly slow on this and frankly in denial, but Governor Pritzker went out just over the last week and purchased a million of these personal protective masks that are needed at the highest level. Now, we are all having to pay more for that than we would like. They make them for about 80 cents. They typically cost about $1.50, and the governor had to pay $5 for each of those. But he wasn't going to wait for someone to ride in and provide those. He knew that we needed those and needed them now. So, look, these are very, very tough decisions. They're hard choices, but they're necessary to save lives. And what we do now is we've got to all work together, and finger-pointing needs to go away. But Democrats, Republicans, House, Senate, the administration, the governor, our legislature, we all have to be together from a government perspective, and then all of us on the ground have to be on the same page and making sure we're putting people's lives first and foremost, and then making sure that our small business owners can come out the other side of this in decent shape.
All right. And then finally, we began our conversation talking about stimulus package.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of conversation, a lot of pain and consternation, a lot of pain, I should say, with the talks apparently over the weekend where there was no compromise. So where is the schedule at in terms of when do you think you get an opportunity to vote on it from the House? You're back in the district now. What is the, is there a timeline you think to get something done?
Yeah, it's ASAP. I am on the phone nonstop. I was on the phone with our speaker, our majority leader, our whip, all of the chairs of our key committees. I just got off the phone before getting on with you with the former Fed chairs, Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke, to seek their advice. We are literally on the phone nonstop. There are just a handful of House members who are actually in Washington, D.C., including the Speaker of the House. We're figuring out the logistics of how we're going to vote on this and get this passed as soon as possible. But again, we have got to work together. The values that are driving us are making sure that people are, first of all, their health is taken care of. And then we're looking at, our workers all over this country. We don't want any industry to go, you know, to go belly up by any means, but we've got to first and foremost put people out there and making sure that we're doing right by them.
So the disagreement is what right now then, between getting a deal together, you think?
Well, making sure that, again, that families and people, that we've got unemployment insurance that it needs to be ramped up to a level that we've never seen before. The direct payments and how those go out to people, that small businesses, that we're looking at more grants and forgivable loans, so they can make it through this. I think, you know, if you look at kind of the traditional role of a Republican and a traditional role of a Democrat, my values are about making sure we're taking care of families and making sure kids don't go hungry and that sort of thing. That's got to be part of this recovery. The order of which we do this, I can tell you, is making sure that employees are taken care of first. And that's why we're saying if we are doing huge, and I'm talking about billions of dollars that are going to corporations, that they've got to commit to taking care of employees first. And that is, that's what we're insisting on. And I think when it's all said and done, that's the right thing to do.
All right. You know, finally, I was thinking about you as we talk here. You know, here's a person that before going to the House worked in the healthcare industry, right? Mm-hmm. Before healthcare, newspaper reporter. So, mm-hmm. Have you digested that and say, man, what if I was still a healthcare worker right now? Or what if I was a newspaper reporter right now in these times? So even if you weren't in the U.S. House right now, you'd still have some interesting stuff going on, I guess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you, Jim, as a reporter, you were playing an essential role in helping our community cope with all of this. You are the conduit between people who are, you know, working on legislation or working in healthcare to get that information out. And same thing in healthcare. Those are the folks on the front line. I'll tell you what, I have a great admiration for the job that you're doing and how you're helping the community, and same thing with all those doctors and nurses and nursing home workers. And my husband's the sheriff of Rock Island County, and just from that perspective and responding to what's going on out there, you know, you're all in critical positions, and you're helping our country get through this. And we have to make sure that we stay calm and we carry on, but we do that through the lens of what is first and foremost from a health perspective and then from an economic perspective.
Thank you, Congresswoman Sherry Bustos.
Thank you, Jim.
And I'm Jim Taylor on WRMJ.